whether it's stocks, funds, commodities, currencies, investors pretty much understand there's always a chance of volatility. Could be a long period of time, could be a short one. Cryptocurrency, yeah, they're currently in one of those volatile periods, are they not? It's not the first time either. Joining us now to discuss Bitcoin, other cryptocurrency, along with what oversight exists versus what needs to exist, is financial policy expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, John Berlow. How are you today, sir?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for helping us get a better understanding of what we're watching, too. CEI.org, the website for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Just want to throw this out for the novice, for the person who maybe is just watching NASA or maybe just gotten in. Is crypto a currency, a fund, a commodity, or is it its own entity in some way?
I would say it's its own entity. That's the thing. We don't know what it is exactly any more than we knew what exactly the internet could do. That, you know, people thought, you know, you couldn't send payments over the internet, and we didn't know what it was going to, and whether you could have search engines or so we don't know. I mean, it could be. Right now, it's one of the things, new things it's powering is the non-fungible tokens that are used for artwork on other things. They use cryptocurrency blockchains and tokens to secure it. So there are all sorts of new uses. That's why I think we don't want heavy-handed regulation. And where we could use some clarity on what it is with the different government agencies have different definitions. The IRS says it's property for taxation, yet the SEC says it's securities because it has some investment value, even though many things have investment value like art that really aren't securities.
But yet, if I go to Tesla and say I'd like to buy one of your cars, I can pay for it with crypto, so that makes it a currency.
It does. It's all of those. It's all of those things. Yes.
Well, I guess the question that becomes what's the value of a? Let's just go with Bitcoin since that's the most common, most easily recognizable. What's a Bitcoin value based on, and what drives it?
Well, the Bitcoin value is based on the fact that, well, making the payment system easier, if you don't have to have an intermediary like a bank, if you and I had a digital wallet, we could exchange it without, you know, having to pay different bank fees the same way, and then it would be maintained by the distributed ledger, the blockchain. But I think also the very fact as a commodity that there are a fixed number of units in Bitcoin embedded in the computer code, and once all those are mined, which is an estimated in 2030, there, you know, no more can be made. Whereas the dollar, you can print it as well. So right. People were looking at that as sort of like having just other commodities like gold, like other things, is just not something that can be printed at will like fiat money, and that's where some of its value is from.
Well, when you look at regulation, too, let's do a little compare and contrast. If you look at how a commercial bank, like Wells Fargo, let's just put them out there, Wells Fargo and the regulations they face versus what crypto faces, who is under a bigger thumb right now and who needs to be under a bigger thumb?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, but Wells Fargo may have more regulation, but they also have bigger benefits as far as things like, and the traditional financial sector as far as bailouts and things like that, like with American International Group, all the things that got bailed out. Meanwhile, crypto is not asking for a bailout. They're coming in and, you know, some of the crypto players like FTX are organizing rescues themselves rather than begging the government or waiting for the government. And I think they might be able to teach traditional finance some things like, if I was looking at him, he's coming out. If Bear Stearns wasn't bailed out, then Lehman probably wouldn't have expected a bailout, and might have, you know, and the financial houses would have taken care of their own things rather than waiting for the government. But it's not really. I mean, cryptocurrency is as far is a product. It's in some ways it's a commodity in the same way that just any other consumer product, like that can have value, like wine or cars or other things, and there's really no national scheme for them. So I think really they're under money laundering regulations, mail fraud and wire fraud and various state regulations. But I think that you have to do regulations that make sense, and that panic-driven regulations, such as the SEC arbitrarily saying one crypto is a security but not the other for reasons they don't explain, that brings more volatility to the market.
With John Berlau, who is financial policy expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Would a consistency of oversight make the crypto market more steady versus these wide swings that we've seen taken? As I said back in the intro, this drop by almost two-thirds, it's not the first time, it won't be the last time. But then on the flip side, whenever regulation is talked about, what happens? Crypto drops.
I know. Well, I mean, the crypto, of course, isn't the only thing that's dropping now, as people are looking at their 401k could see that. So everything is, carries risk, and it's good, to diversify. That's why I think Fidelity and so many of its customers are supporting, having crypto as a part, not, all of it, but maybe a small part of a 401k. But I think, yeah, a consistent one, a rules-based regulation rather than what's going on at the SEC now as far as regulation by enforcement, where they don't, they're claiming authority, really the Congress has never given them, to say that it's a security, despite the fact that it's not really like a stock or a bond where you have any ownership, share, or promise of a return. It's more like a collector's item that goes up in value, which is not a security. So having that, particularly for what are called stable coins that are based on the dollar, disclosure requirements about what reserves they have, which is what Senator Toomey, the Republican ranking member of the Senate Banking Committee, has proposed, I think would be good for the market, whereas arbitrary regulation where you don't know what the regulator is going to do, where they can come out and issue a pronouncement years that something is a security when you had no idea what you were doing that like 4 years ago, which is what happened with XRP or Ripple when it said they should have always known since 2013 that it was a security, even though the SEC didn't come out with a guidance until 2017. That's the kind of panic-driven regulation that, makes the markets more volatile and hurts investors and crypto holders.
As most people probably know at this point, crypto isn't just Bitcoin, but since Bitcoin gets all the attention, is Bitcoin representative of what is happening to the crypto market overall, or are they just experiencing the biggest drop because they have the biggest value right now?
Well, a lot of the major cryptos are dropping. Some more than others, and some of the smaller more than Bitcoin. But Bitcoin and Ethereum, and there are a few that are going up, like the non-fungible tokens that are involved with art and sort of use the blockchain from Bitcoin and Ethereum, but are their own tokens. So yeah, it's affecting the crypto market. I mean, the crypto market, it rose so fast because everybody was interested in it that, it's having, like with everything, when the Fed increases interest rate, a lot of assets people are just, scared of what's happening in the economy and getting rid of. But when you consider that Bitcoin, was like 5,000 in around mid 2020 and 20,000 now, a lot of people, I was just seeing a survey that most people who have Bitcoin are ahead.
And this is true. I mean, the idea too, when you look at, you mentioned Senator Toomey, I think we've seen this so often when anything of technology comes before either chamber of Congress, it seems like they're not really clued into the mechanics of what they're talking about, debating about, or trying to inject oversight over. Is this a fear that one should have with the federal government and these individuals trying to put their fingers down into something that they probably don't really have a grasp of?
I think so, although sometimes Congress does get it right. They did a pretty good job with the internet framework and sort of allowing allowing that to be competitive without too much government interference, that you don't have to get permission for a website. There's sort of a permissionless innovation there. So if I think they, in some ways, you know, they need to do disclosure, but you know, prosecute fraud, but otherwise, you know, let the market work and let crypto evolve into what it's into, and let people have this, you know, wealth building opportunity with it, that they, because of all this red tape, say on companies going public with Sarbanes-Oxley and Dodd-Frank, that you don't have that, you know, with smaller stocks. They don't go, companies don't go public when they're small anymore, like Microsoft did, and like when Home Depot went public, it just had 4 stores in the 80s. They wait until they're much bigger because of all the regulations and red tape on public companies. And I don't want to have that to happen to crypto, where only, you know, you have to be what's called an accredited investor, qualifying by your wealth, that those are the only people that can buy new cryptocurrencies and potentially grow wealthy with them.
As they say, if you don't want to take risk, which investing is, like it or not, and there is no such thing as a sure thing, there's always the First National Bank of your mattress. But if you want to take adventure and venture into new things, certainly crypto is something to have as part of a portfolio. There are many 401ks, as John referenced, that include Bitcoin and crypto as part of the package?
No, not yet. Fidelity is trying,
oh, okay.
But I mean, that's the thing. It could be. There are many, and also companies are trying to get exchange traded funds approved here, which would be a more regulated product, would have to disclose more, which has been approved in countries like Canada and Singapore, but they have just, so far, the SEC has not approved, has had about 20 applications from reputable companies, hasn't approved any of them. So there should be some more. It would be better, it would bring more transparency to have 401ks having them and for exchange traded funds. Fidelity's trying, and the Biden administration, Department of Labor, has been fighting them on it.
Well, no matter what it is, what you're investing into, always make sure that it's a risk you can accept and deal with. It might be a weird analogy, but do you go to the casino with your mortgage money? Or if you do, you shouldn't. But if you go in with the understanding that it could be a loss to some degree, then you might get lucky too. It's all a part of the investing picture, but do your homework, do your study, and do it with reality for your personal financial situation. Learn more about all things financial and financial regulations. That's one of the reasons to go to CEI.org, read John's writings and the writings of the other experts in finances and really everything to do with things that matter here in not just America, but in the world. He is their financial policy expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. John Berlow, thank you so much for the education about crypto today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Chris.